Welcome to ClickFunnels Radio, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here's your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to ClickFunnels Radio. We used to be Funnel Hacker Radio. Justin Guarini is on the show. I'm so excited. Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. And I love the brand change.
It's one of those crazy things where we started off with ClickFunnels Radio, and then our social media person at the time said, oh, we really should focus more on building the Funnel Hacker Radio brand. I'm like, okay. Not thinking it was the stupidest thing we could have done at the time, but we're back.
Hey, why not? That's not bad at all. Well, ClickFunnels is going through plenty of changes, so why not have your radio go through it too?
Right? Absolutely right. So we were just started talking, and I realized we weren't even talking on the podcast, and I want to make sure we capture everything. So dive right in and tell us kind of where we left off just as we were talking there about how you kind of found out about the whole ClickFunnels thing.
Yeah, I really got started on my entrepreneurial journey with Garrett J. White and the Wake Up Warrior program and the Warrior Brotherhood. And, you know, I had always dabbled before then. I've been very fortunate to have a lot of success in my career and to have opportunities that have afforded me access at high levels. But, you know, I never really kind of took into account the business side of things. I was always the product, and I always saw myself as just the product. And a lot of my decisions were based on being the product. And it wasn't until I actually had an experience with an audition where I was basically, long story short, over the period of about 3.5 months, I was asked to do everything in the audition room other than put on a tutu and jump through a flaming hoop, right? They had me working over 3.5 months, and my time is valuable. I live in an idyllic town in Pennsylvania, and getting into New York is a 5-hour round trip process for me. So auditioning for a Broadway show in New York is serious time suck for me. And so I had that experience, and then after 3.5 months, I basically had to bug my agent, who had to bug the casting director, who had to bug the creative team for this wonderful Broadway show. And they came back and they were like, nah. Now, look, we deal with rejection all the time in my industry, in the entertainment industry. But the fact that they took that much of my time and didn't give me something to work on, didn't give me something to take away where I could get better, or I could realize, oh, you know what? They didn't hire me because I was too tall, too short, too whatever. You know, those things that are out of our control when we don't get the job, whether it's in the entertainment industry or other industries. And so I really went into a funk, and I was like, do I even want to do this anymore? This is so disrespectful. I can't, I'm not sure I want to do any of this. And through that, I ended up tripping over in social media, as we do, Garrett J. White. And I was like, it's this, it's for men and married businessmen, and blah, 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 blah. And so I ended up going down the rabbit hole. You know, I took the red pill, and it was this amazing experience that really helped me. And I talk about this a lot with my students in the training that I do. It helped me to ask better questions of myself, and really it helped me to create better beliefs, question my beliefs, ask better questions. And so one of the questions I asked myself was, how can I never feel this way again? How can I put myself in a position where I have the power, where I can create legacy, where I can be my own boss instead of in the entertainment industry doing what we do, which is begging for a job? That's what we do. You know, it's like, I'm so fortunate that I have this awesome commercial that I do. But as soon as they say, we don't want to do this television commercial anymore, I'm out of a job. I get to do Broadway shows. And as soon as they say, well, we're not making money on the Broadway show, I'm out of a job, right? So I started asking those questions. And then I started asking, well, if I can be disrespected at the level that I'm at, what about the people who haven't been in front of 30 million people a week on American Idol? What about the people who haven't had 6 Broadway shows, about all that shiny stuff that I've done? And so I said, how can I make sure they don't feel that way? And that was where the Audition Secrets brand came from. And in a video, just a random video that Garrett J. White used to do back when he would go live and we had really direct access to him before the whole thing blew up. And he's like, hey, I'm not going to deal with 5,000 dudes every single day. He mentioned this guy, Russell Brunson. and this thing, ClickFunnels. And I pay attention to those things, and I love researching the authors or whatever that he talks about. And so I just went to clickfunnels.com and or whatever it is now, and that was it. I was like, yeah. And I literally went in, I played around, and I was like, I don't know what any of this is. And, you know, I grew up loving DOS and being trained on that sort of coding and like, oh, make the man dance and the bubble pop and all those things. And, you know, if A, then all that, right? And I love that. I was that was part of my little nerdy heart, but it had been dormant for a long time, right? I'm tech savvy, but that part of my heart had been dormant. And so then through some series of events, probably because I was what do you call that when you tag somebody, but the advertising follows them around? What is that?
Retargeting.
Yes, thank you. Retargeting. Yeah, see, you go. I'm still working on it. So because of retargeting, I probably got hit up with the .com secrets, expert secrets book, and I was like, let me check this out. Why not? And as in the brilliant way that you all do it, you guys literally started me at the bottom of your ladder, and I got that book for free from the library through a program called Hoopla, and I read the book, and that was it. It was over. It was all over. I was at the bottom of the ladder, and I was literally like, what's the next step? Sign me up. I got the Actionetics and the backpack and the big Edison suite, and that was it. And I started learning, and then I found myself at the One Funnel Away Challenge, and then the FHL, Funnel Hacking Live, and that was it. And I was just smitten.
Well, tell us about Audition Secrets, because it's going crazy good right now.
Yeah, you know what? It has been one of those things where I am just getting traction in a serious way now. I just last week finished a masterclass where I teach a pop vocals workshop, a music theater workshop, and then an audition techniques workshop. And yet, really, it has been about a year in terms of making sure that I figured out my value ladder. I figured out what people really truly wanted, because I like to say that I made every mistake you can possibly make. I literally wrote a book first. I wrote Audition Secrets Volume 1 first. And like, I did my research and I knew, and I wrote it based on my experience and the experience of the people that I did speak with. And, you know, I sent out woofoo questionnaires to my friends and all these other things. So it wasn't like I was just like, hey, I'm going to write a book. But I did it so many things backwards. And what I wished I had done is I wished I had just talked to more people and I really asked them, you know, coming back to questions, ask them really targeted questions. You know, what do you feel that's holding you back from achieving your goals in the audition room? What do you feel like you're missing in your thing? And so eventually, almost a year later, I finally come around to the understanding, and it really is in alignment with what you are doing at ClickFunnels, everybody's doing at ClickFunnels, in terms of that play bigger mentality, in terms of the being the category king and not trying to dethrone an already established category king. It's just, it's bad. It's bad business, right? So I was trying to dethrone other category kings by saying, oh, I teach you how to sing a new revolutionary way of singing and acting and dancing, all these things that all these other people have been doing for years, if not decades, right? And it wasn't until I really focused down and I said, okay, where in my little sub niche can I be the category king? And that really came through polling and work that I did on Instagram. And it came down to mindset work. Yes, you can learn how to sing I don't want to say better, because we don't want to make it a better product, but like, you can learn how to sing differently in a new way. You can learn new techniques on how to act. You can learn new techniques on how to dance. But where a lot of the people who are the category kings in my sort of universe don't focus is that mindset work. How do you approach an audition? How do you approach stage performance in a way that and with a belief system that serves you and that really puts that energy out there that an audience can feel and relate to? And why do we fall in love with the performers and people, the shiny folks that we see in the entertainment industry? And part of that is because they have been in the business long enough and developed this belief system around themselves that is infectious, that is something that we want a piece of. And it has become a part of their identity. And so that's what I work on with Audition Secrets. And right now I'm about to have the book, Audition Secrets, the podcast, and I'm just getting ready to launch the Audition Secrets Vault using my ClickFunnels membership area. And it's great. I'm just storing a bunch of training in there, my book, my audio book, and all kinds of other wonderful things. And ClickFunnels has just been an awesome and invaluable resource for everything that I've done.
You know, Justin, the part I love most about what you're talking about there is the whole idea as far as mindset. Everyone, we start, you know, One Funnel Away Challenge now with a week of mindset. And I think the great thing about what you're doing with, again, I've never auditioned per se for anything like what you guys do, but I can just imagine the mental stuff is very similar to what an entrepreneur goes through. Gosh, can I really do this? I don't know. And it's amazing how when you come to that event, whatever that might be, whether it's an audition or whether it's pushing, yes, publish, or whatever it might be, that confidence is so critical and people connect. Again, you mentioned this, you know, the shiny glow that these people have. You see it. It is truly a visible thing and you're drawn to it. I think it's one of the things I've always, when we first met at Funnel Like It Live and even a couple of times we've spoken since then, you have that confidence and that glow. And yes, you can say, well, yeah, I've been in front of 30 million people, six Broadway. Yeah, I get all that, but you got that because of who you became to get that. And I think that's the part that so many business owners, entrepreneurs, they miss. And we talk about all the time as far as you're one funnel away. And we're like, do you understand how many funnels that may be? For yes. Some of us, it's been hundreds. For me, it's been hundreds. But it's what you learn during that process. It's the mental stuff that I was talking to my son Chandler the other day, because he's kind of going through this whole thing, trying to figure out, gosh, I just don't. Here's where I'm at. I don't know if this is where I want to stay. I don't want to go. I'm like, understand sometimes, bud, it's just a practice business. You're just auditioning. You're just going through it, bud. You gotta put in your 10,000 hours. You've got to go through that kind of stuff. And you're going to get the door slammed in your face. And people are going to tell you no. And you're not going to hit two comma club in a month. I get that. That's okay. That's not normal. And I think the reality for so many business owners is they see these overnight successes. And I'm like, yeah, that's a 20-year overnight success you're seeing. Yes. And so I love so if you don't mind, just spend a few minutes kind of talking about how do you teach that kind of mindset? What are some of the things that you're teaching in Audition Secrets that would be a benefit to people who are listening to this right now?
Yeah, and you made some really great points there in terms of there are parallels between the performance world and the audition world and the entrepreneurial world. And you're right. I mean, so many of the one-name folks that we see, those shiny folks who seem to come out of nowhere. It happens a lot in music. You know, you'll have like someone like a Lizzo or these other people who literally have one name at some point. But like that has been, you don't see that Lady Gaga, who is this massive success, like literally played dive bars in New York City for years, toured and slogged as Stephanie Germanotta. And then all of a sudden she got with the producer and she was like, you know what? I gotta rebrand. I mean, she might not have thought of it this way, right? Yeah. But she's like, I gotta rebrand and I gotta find a different way of doing what it is. And she didn't change anything that she was doing necessarily. She changed the brand. She said, okay, I love Queen. There's this song called Radio Gaga, Lady Gaga, however she came to that. And then she said, okay, I'm gonna take all this cool stuff that I've done and I'm gonna put a dance vibe to it. And then I'm gonna create this whole, and then we see Lady Gaga, right? But like you said, we don't see the decades of work that went into and successes and quote unquote failures that go into that. And so when I'm talking about Audition Secrets, audition is just a brutal thing. Nobody likes auditions. Not the people who have to hold them, meaning the other people on the other side of the table. Not the people who have to do them, meaning the performers. Nobody, it's barbaric. It is the most unnatural thing that you can possibly do, because you take this moment in time, your scene or whatever song it is you're singing, and you do it in this bare room. Usually it's like a dance studio, which smells like feet and, you know, has horrible fluorescent lighting, and you don't have the costume, you don't have the lights, you don't have, it's all this stuff. It's just stripped away, and you've got to create life out of this dead space, right? And then the poor people on the other side of the table, just like anybody who's conducting an interview, it's like you got to see hundreds of people, sometimes spending 12 hours. The way I like to frame it for folks is, imagine your favorite TV show. Let's just take, you know, a tried and true classic, Friends, okay? And there's a scene in Friends that's really great. It's just one scene. It's 3 minutes long. And, you know, Ross, Chandler, Rachel, and everybody, they're all in the scene. And that's the scene that you're watching. Now, imagine that you have to watch that same scene of a show that you love over and over and over again for 12 hours, but every time you watch it, all the actors change. It would be like torture. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes the person playing Ross and the person playing Rachel have great energy. More often than not, they don't. And you've got to you're forced to watch this because there's an overlord behind you that says you must choose one or five of these people or else I'm going to fire you. And I will, you know, all these. So like, that's what it's like. And so it's this barbaric process. And so getting back to what you're saying, when I talk about belief, really one of the greatest ways to either change or challenge the beliefs you have, and I do a training on it, is by using the power of questions. Questions, questions. So much of the root of our belief systems come from the questions that we have or we continue to consistently ask ourselves on a daily, weekly, on a consistent basis. And so I have a formula, and it's this: better questions lead to better answers. Better answers lead to better actions. Better actions lead to better outcomes or results. Better results or outcomes lead to better stories. And better stories lead to better beliefs. And now let's take that and break that down a little bit. Better questions lead to better answers. Let's take a bad question. You know, why can't I make any money in this business? We have one of the most powerful, if not, well, we have the most powerful organic machine in between our ears, our brain, the most probably powerful computer in the entire universe that we know of, right? And so when we ask it a question, it is so powerful, it will always give us an answer. But it will only give us the answer based on the quality of the question that we input, right? And so if I say, why can't I make any money in this business? My brain, your brain, the entrepreneurial brain, the performance brain will come up with the answer. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. I haven't done this. Right? And that's a crap answer. And based on that crap answer, we're most likely going to make or take poor actions, right? So let's reverse it then. So how can I make more money in this business? Or more importantly, and which is why I love ClickFunnels, the question that you ask us to ask ourselves is, how can I serve my customers at a higher level? Russell has so often said, you know, those people who go for money in this business and who will use this platform to go for money, yeah, they may have success, but it is so, it's harder than if you were to approach this from how can I serve? How can I serve at a higher level? So let's just take that. How can I serve my customers at such a high level that they will be willing to give me price point, you know, $297, $497, $1,997, whatever it is, $47, it doesn't matter. How can I give them 10 times their value, 10 times the value, rather, of what the money is they're giving me? And so if we take that form, the better question equals better answer. So that question, how can I serve my tribe at a higher level? You come up with the answer. Okay, I can create this for them. I can show up live for them. I can go out and buy like one of those burner cell phones and put it up and say, hey, boom, I'm going to put this number out here. You have 2 minutes with me. Boom. And like just, and people go crazy for that, right? Free, absolutely free. How can I serve them at such a high level? Okay, so that's it. The better answer is I can do all this. And then those answers, I can do this, this, that, and the other, lead you to those better actions. I go out, I get that phone. I create that training. I go live on Facebook and I do X, Y, and Z and I answer questions, right? And so those better actions lead to better results. People are happy. I am serving them. I am finding out more about my business. I am becoming more practiced at delivering my message. I'm figuring out the language that people use and that and figuring out the problems and the questions they have and the more things that I can serve them, and I'm getting better and growing. And so then those actions lead to, again, those better results. And those results, when they're good, and they more often are good when you ask a good question and when you provide great service and when you get great answers, those results end up leading to you feeling good about what it is that you're doing. And another way of saying that is you create better stories about your business. You create better stories about the audition process, in my case. You create better stories about how it is that you serve your customers and your ability to serve them. And you're like, man, I can do this. I really can. And I have proof by all of this, all the responses that I'm getting. And even if I'm getting negative responses, okay, I missed that. I'm going to, boom, solve that problem, fix that thing so that that is no longer a complaint anymore. And that is no longer a problem anymore. And those better stories determine everything. The stories that we have about the world around us, the stories that we have about ourselves, the stories about our experiences, they are the foundational pillars of our identity, or at least one of the foundational pillars of our identity. And if you tell your stories enough to yourself, just like when we were kids, and if we had someone reading a story to us in bed, or if, like me, I had that, but I also listened to the golden age of radio, and I listened to Abbott and Costello and Jack Benny and Mel Blanc and all those people on the radio, and those stories seeped into my brain because I listened to them every night because I had a challenge falling asleep. Those stories created in me a belief that said, I love the entertainment industry. I love performance. I want to do this. I can do this. I am going to do this. And there, through that whole formula, through that whole series of things, that belief is formed, and it all started with just simple questions that I asked myself, or thoughts that I had, and then I looked at the thought behind the thought and or the question that that thought brought up. And so that is one of the ways that I love to say, hey, look, you know, beliefs are these things that you don't make overnight unless you have like some terrifically traumatic experience, right? That's when beliefs get formed very quickly. But beliefs, just like what you're saying, just like business, just like those overnight successes, just like those one-name people, they don't happen overnight. But when you begin to dissect the journey that you go on in order to create those beliefs, you can reverse engineer it. And the homework that I give people is just start to notice the questions that you ask yourselves on a daily basis. Just start to notice the thoughts that come up in your head and what the questions are behind those thoughts, what the thought is behind that thought. And then see if those thoughts, those questions are empowering. If they're empowering, most likely the question starts with how can I do, be, say more, have more. If they're disempowering, it's usually, why can't I? Why am I not enough? Why am I not, and stuff like that. So that is one of the trainings that I do, and I, as you can tell, I really enjoy it.
No, I am so excited about that. Questions have been a huge pillar in my own growth, and I was fortunate to learn it a long time ago, even though I didn't apply it as much as I should have. But it's interesting, even now, at the level where we're at, it's always fun for me to see. You get to a certain level and you can kind of coast for a while and you get comfortable and you're like, wait a second here. I either stay here or I go to the next level. And then all of a sudden it's a just this overload of questions. Well, what do I, how do I do this? And how can I do this? And how can I do this? And how can I, and then all of a sudden people start coming into your life because you're asking the right questions. And you're like, ah, I have no idea how that person came into my life. I just was asking the question and I asked the right question and it came up. I see the same thing happen for people as far as vocabulary and just the words that they use. It was funny. We were, our birthday announcement was, gosh, I forget, 2 days ago or a day ago, whatever Monday it was. Yeah.
And it probably feels like it was a long process. Yeah.
But it was crazy because for those people who didn't know, literally everything crashed 15 minutes before we were supposed to go live. Entire database that had that contained FunnelFlix crashed. And so Russell's, we're going through Slack and reading these messages, and the guy we're working with says, you know what? If I were you, I would just postpone the launch. I'm like, no. That's not an option. That's like failure is not an option. You don't postpone your birthday launch. We've got 30,000 people wanting to see this thing. And it was just fascinating to see the vocabulary people started using, the questions. It's like, okay, how can we get this thing live? Russell, and literally Russell was in the other room doing his amazing dog and pony show, which he does so well. I'm in here with Todd and Ryan and everybody else on our team, Nick and everyone else. Just, I'm going literally through every contact I have over at the company who is doing this. I'm thinking, okay, who do I know? And then all of a sudden these names start coming to my mind. I'm like, bye, I need you. And a phone call started happening. And literally Russell's sitting there saying, well, you know what? It's going to be kind of like a Christmas present, the birthday or birthday present, where it's going to come and you're just going to be surprised when it comes. And about that time is when I literally go running. We're live. It actually is live. We're working. And it was just because of when failure is not an option, you know, things have to happen. And you start asking the right questions, things, they either fall in place or at least they'll be better. They won't be worse if you start asking the right questions. They'll at least be better.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you hit the nail on the head. It's like when you begin to ask better questions, the people just come into your life like random. I mean, it's not random, but it feels random. And, you know, you walk with a big stick over at ClickFunnels. And when you make a phone call, people listen. But even just something is just so simple. I don't even know how it happened. There is a person who came into my life recently who has built multi-million dollar companies. And she is just like a huge name in her industry. And just, I literally... because I asked myself the question, well, how can I partner with someone like this person in order to bring more exposure of her brand to my tribe, as well as allow her to leverage whatever it is, that the fame or whatever you want to call it, that I have for her tribe and for her. And I literally just, and this is a person who just, I mean, just, I can't imagine how many emails they get. And there are people who are in the way of getting to her, right? And I just wrote a very simple email. And I said as much as I just said to you in a probably a nicer way. And boom, that night on Instagram, I got a video message from her. And it was just like, and now we're working together. And just, it's just absolutely amazing the things that can happen when you begin to ask the right questions. And somebody said to me on a training that I did last night, you know, a closed mouth never gets fed. That was some old wisdom. And you have to ask. Even Myron Golden today in the 2CCX private Facebook group was like, look, you know, if you're not ready, you're not ready, but you have to put your, if you are and you want something, you got to put yourself out there. You have to make offers. How many offers is ClickFunnels? I mean, there's 100-some-odd offers out there, right? It's just, you just literally, you know, we talk hook story offer all the time, and you just have to throw the hooks into the water. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, you might not get a bite. Like you said, it takes 100 funnels for you, practically hundreds of funnels, just to get that one. But you learn along the way and you grow along the way. And all of a sudden people are calling you an overnight success before you know it.
I love it. You know, it's kind of funny just to circle back to how we started the conversation. You were commenting on my blue and red earbuds. Yeah. And you're like, how do I get a set? You're like the first person who's asked for a set. Now everyone's going to say, well, Dave, I want one now. So because you asked and because we had this amazing conversation about questions, you just have to PM me your address and I'll send you a set.
Awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But it's, but again, it's just like, if you hadn't put them on, and if somebody on your team, whether it was you or somebody, hadn't said, you know what, like, these things hanging out of our ears, it's like you find, I was in a parking garage the other day, and you know that arm that comes down to stop you from leaving and pay, stuff like that? They have managed to put a billboard, a very long rectangular billboard on that. It's like, oh my, is there no space that's sacred? But anyway, why not? Imagine the number of impressions that you get right there.
And they're stopped. They can't move. They have to read it.
Yeah, exactly. But they got to pay in order to get through that. So it's a brilliant, I wish I had thought of it, but it's just so interesting when you put it out there, even if something as simple as making a blue and a red ear pods, then, you know, people are going to notice. It's just another way of opening your mouth and saying, hey, I got something really cool. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Justin, I could talk to you for days. I know you're busy, and I appreciate the time you've given me. Any parting words to our ClickFunnels audience here?
You know what? I hopefully someday will get up onto the ClickFunnels stage at Funnel Hacking Live or some other event and be able to tell my story, because I have literally made all the mistakes you can possibly make. But one of the most important things that you can do, whether you are a performer or a funnel hacker or just an entrepreneur in general, is to keep going. I cannot stress that enough. Keep going, keep growing. I know it sounds trite, but like, think about Walt Disney. Disney is this massive, huge monolith thing, a corporation, right? But it all started with one man who went to one bank, and the bank said, wait, what is this thing that you're trying to do? You're drawing something, you call it Steamboat Willie, and then we're going to, no, we don't want this. And then he went to a second bank. They said the same thing. 3, 4. He went to over, I believe, 40 banks. And he said, I just want a loan to make this cartoon with a little mouse whistling on a boat and a couple other things. We're going to call it Steamboat Willie. And I don't know why the 45th or whatever it was, or 6th or 7th bank said yes. Maybe he just annoyed them to death. And they were just like, fine, just take you know, the $500 or whatever it was at the time, which, you know, was significant at the time. And he ended up making this thing. And so it's that belief in yourself. If you truly have a product that you believe in, that you believe, like Walt Disney did, will serve an audience that will bring joy, light, love, peace, harmony, whatever it, money, whatever it is, to the people that you want to serve, then it is your duty to bring that to fruition. It is your duty to bring your best every single day, to not accept no for an answer, and to make that happen. So many of the people that we laud in the entrepreneurial world have that story, could have stopped. I mean, you want to talk about the hero's two journeys. There is that moment where you, the character, has the choice to stop. Or to go forward, right? To go backwards or to go forward. And even if we go forward, like in the Hero's Two Journeys, and we don't achieve the actual thing that we set out on the journey to do, we are changed. We have grown. We have learned. We have become, I would like to think, bigger and better. And that is one of the beauties and the curses of being an entrepreneur. So I would say, keep going. If you truly believe in what it is that you're doing, keep going, because it's your duty to bring that to the world.
Well, Justin, thank you so much. I can't echo more than what you've already said. Totally agree. Thank you so much. Again, Audition Secrets, is that where people can check you out?
Yeah, auditionsecrets.com.
Awesome. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.